First, in a change to our published schedule, Penny Marshall investigates the difficult subject of women who sexually abuse children in Female Sexual Abuse, Breaking the Silence. The programme includes some distressing accounts of people's experiences of abuse.
A woman has admitted sexually assaulting children at the nursery where she worked and sharing the images with two other paedophiles.
The three accused looked sullen but unemotional as each of the 38 charges was put to them. They replied guilty to all but one.
I think there's not a police force in the country that isn't currently dealing with a female child sex offender. They will all exclusively have, you know, various numbers that they're dealing with as registered offenders that are either convicted or waiting to go through the court process. I think what we're trying to say is that that's just the tip of the iceberg.
That a woman who is trusted to nurture and love the young children in her care could hurt and sexually abuse them instead is one of the most upsetting crimes. It challenges every normal expectation we have of mothers and of female carers. But last week, when two women pleaded guilty to charges of child sexual abuse, it forced an issue shrouded in silence into the open. In this programme, we'll be examining this most sensitive and difficult of issues, listening to the adult voices of those who were abused as children and were neither believed nor helped, and hearing from perpetrators as we struggle to understand what could lead a woman to sexually harm a child. But first, after the panic generated by last week's case, we ask how rare a crime this really is. Superintendent Graham Hill is the head of the Behavioural Analysis Unit at CEOP, the Child Exploitation and Online Protection Agency.
A recent study in America said that 20% of all crimes globally committed against children were committed by females. You know, that's quite hard to get your head around, really, because, you know, this idea that women are the homemakers, the carers, it's hard for people to think that they are offenders in their own right.
For the public at large, the whole question of child abuse, and particularly female sexual abuse, is a subject that is very difficult to think about, and many people really find it enormously hard to even begin to consider.
Diana Kand is a psychotherapist who works with the abused. Not only is it a difficult subject to discuss, it's a difficult subject to research, because actually, relatively little is known about female sexual abuse, as I discovered when trying to pin down statistics. We do know that there are currently only about 50 female offenders in custody, and we also know that there are some women on the sexual offenders register, but not how many. The Home Office told us they don't keep a central record of the gender of the offenders. We're beginning to understand, though, exactly what it can involve. Diana Kant's list of what can constitute abuse is disturbing.
There are many forms of female sexual abuse, and they can start from exposure to inappropriate videos, television programs, or children being able to watch parental sexual experience. That can extend to actual digital stimulation, masturbation, and penetration. So really many gradations of what I think we would all say were sexually abusive experiences.
Michelle Elliott was one of the first to raise the possibility that women were capable of sexually abusive behaviour. This was in the 80s, when child abuse by men had only recently been acknowledged as a significant reality. Today she runs Kidscape, a charity she founded, and she says there's still professional denial surrounding the subject.
There's a paucity of knowledge about it, no one wants to talk about it, but the professionals are the ones who really annoy me. I'd say even 75% of professionals have still got a denial. A mental block. I think professionals working in the field who have staked their reputation and their career on a certain on a certainty. Yeah. It is men, they do abuse children, and therefore this is what should happen. are very threatened by the fact that that might not be true.
And when did you first start to become aware of female sexual abuse?
I vividly remember talking at an RAF base about sexual abuse of children, and this was in the 80s, and I had never ever said anything about women abusing. I didn't even know that possibly existed. And a young man came up very in his uniform, very straight, he was standing straight, and he looked at me and he said, you know, it isn't only men who do it. My mother did it to me. And he walked out, and I was left so shaken by this. I started to think maybe I should ask questions, and through a few programs, started talking about it. And the response was immediate, like a floodgate had opened. In this sort of three-door filing cabinet are files of...
In her London office, her cabinet's brimming with files and letters from the 800 or so survivors of female abuse who've turned to her when no one else would listen.
If you read through some of these, you would weep. Well, one woman said, well, I talked about the fact that I was sexually abused by a nun in the school I was at, and they put her into a mental institution where she spent the next 40 years of her life. To even bring it up meant there was something the matter with you. And one woman said she can still remember her mother was bringing a plate of roast beef into the dining room, and she chose that moment to say that the babysitter had been doing all this stuff to her. Her mother put down the plate of roast beef, slapped her across the face, back and forth, and said, don't you ever say anything like that again. Sorry, it makes me cry. It does. It's just, I have so many stories of people who tried so hard to get help and told what was happening, and the adults didn't believe them.